Right. We're gonna talk about a perfectly safe place, part two. And we might say the same things over again. I don't know. But we pray that God will bless the word. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, and Psalm chapter 4, verse 8. We'll read those two scriptures, and we'll go to other scriptures as we go along. We're talking about a perfectly safe place, and I believe this is a perfectly safe place this morning. And I believe, God, you're here for a reason, and God brought you here. And he's going to bless you in this spot. So 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I'm reading the King James Version. And it says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. This is a warning by the Holy Spirit spoken to a young minister, a man of God, but a young pastor by the name of Timothy. And Paul was writing a letter to him, and he was, of course, the scriptures are inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he's writing a letter. And this word there back then is just as valid as it is today. And so in Psalm chapter 4, verse 8, the psalmist said, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, O Lord, only makes me dwell in safety, or dwell, safely or in safety. So we are in perilous times. The word of God says that we're living in perilous times. The word perilous means dangerous, dangerous times. And he went on to reiterate and itemize some things that he was talking about, the difficult times. There's different things. One of the things about these last days is selfishness. People will be so selfish about their lives. I noticed, I was watching in the newsfeed, my newsfeed, it talked about people there buying up all the toilet paper. And I told my wife, you better get some toilet paper. I kept saying that to her. She said, no, we have 16 loaves, is it called? Rolls? Rolls, I guess. So we're not eating those things. And so anyway, I was just saying, you better get some toilet paper, then she goes out. But anyway, we do have enough, but we'll have to go back to old moss treatment, back in the old days. So he says here that this is, we are going to, go through a time in our lives where there's going to be difficulty and disruptions in our lives as normal. And it says it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse. And I know I've been teaching, I taught this times before, and I've been teaching people about this, if you were not in our Wednesday services or those services, that there's going to be tough days ahead. Just if you look back at my teaching, I'm going to show you, even before this hit, that it's the tough days ahead for us, for everyone. And, it affected everybody. This is a worldwide thing. It affects everybody in some way, fashion. And then people are dying. Of course, there are vulnerable people who are passing on because they catch this flu. And of course, the flu is deadly for vulnerable people that already have pre-existing conditions that could affect them in their respiratory area and so on. So the Bible says in the last days, these are the last days. We're living in the last days. I don't know if it's the beginning of the last days or the middle of the last days, or the last of the last days. Wherever period we're in that, we're living in difficult times. If you just look around in your life, you'll see difficult days ahead, different things in the world, the environmental issues that are happening, the social conflicts that we're looking at, the issues with government and different things with leadership and so on. And even in churches, there's different things that are happening within leadership. And people can't get along with each other, nation against nation. And we're having a time here where we're going to have to deal with things. And we have to look to God during these tough times. Look to him for all the trouble. As not to him that he's causing the trouble, but to him for answers. And people want answers today. And they're looking to science, and science can only do so much. And people can do so much. Governments can only do so much. And, we can do our part. And we can help out. So we are in a place now where we can see how this whole thing has affected people, the health situation, a health scare, and people are being afraid to do anything, to go anywhere. And so we have to look to the Scripture. And so we at Faith City Church are going to do what we can, but we're also going to look to God for whatever, just only on the level of anxiety alone has affected people. Just the scare and the ability to deal with fear and anxiety and those kinds of things, and to be able to be comfortable in that. So some people are more susceptible to anxiety, more susceptible to fear. Everybody has fears. How many people understand that you can be afraid but still be courageous? So we don't allow fears to stymie us or to delay us for different things. We can go ahead. You know, one lady said, do it afraid. That means be courageous. No matter how you feel, you're going to act on the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so it says here, again, it says in Psalm 4:8 that I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. And I mentioned before that people don't have peace. You know what peace is? You know, that there's a kind of peace that only God can give. You know, you can have peace when the check comes in. All right, when your husband comes home, when the kids are in, you can have some peace. But there's something that's ongoing that only God can solve. God can only solve certain situations in your life. And some people don't have peace because they have to smoke a cigarette. You don't live in peace when you have to smoke a cigarette. When you need a drug, when you need a drink. That's not peace. Your body is driving you. You're not comfortable. You're not at ease on the inside. But God wants to give you perfect peace, perfect soundness, not to be afraid of anything. I learned this, in my life. I've been around for a little bit. And I always thought about peace, that you can just, if you had just had a wife, you'd be okay. And you add more to your trouble. Even with a good wife, my wife is a wonderful woman. And she's to thank God for the gift. But that's not peace. It's not peace just to have a nice house and a nice car. That's just extra things. You need more than that. Only God can fill peace. So there's people who are sleeping, going to sleep. They're afraid. They're sweating. They're sweaty palms, And his palms are sweaty, the Bible says. Going to sleep. Mom's spaghetti. Everybody's all... They're all everybody's all scared, They're singing the song at the night. But you see, we need to understand that only God can give you peace. He said, and then it says here in the Psalm 4:8 says that I will lay me down in peace and sleep. See, there's people that can't sleep because they don't have any peace. They're worried about their condition, their physical condition. They're worried about their children. They're worried about everything else around them. And worry is killing people, stressing them out and cutting their life short and causing cancer to come to them, causing different things, causing fear, causing their life to be short. And God wants you to be in peace because that gives you a long life. Gives you rest. You don't have any wrinkles. Praise God. Amen? That's a good way to, if you don't want any wrinkles, Kenny, I can see you've been on a full-time salary there with that business. Anyway, so it says that we can dwell in safety. And so this is where we at today. We want safety. Amen. We want to be in peace with our lives, and yet people can cause themselves a lot of harm. So we're living dangerous times in these days. The Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul, was warning us that in these last days there will be very difficult times ahead of us, for us. As long that we're in this world and we'll continue to encounter very difficult times. Jesus said we would, and that no matter what may occur, we can trust Him for His protection. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, He said, I've told you these things that in me you may have perfect peace. Perfect peace. And confidence in the world, which we're living in this world, you'll have tribulation. What does it mean, tribulation? Here the Amplified says, trials, distresses, frustration. but be of good cheer. So how could I, if I'm suffering trials and distresses and frustrations, Jesus is telling you, be of good cheer. Now he's talking about doing it by faith. You know, I'm going to tell you something. If you know God, if you know his word and you know him personally, you'll take this to the bank and cash it, so to speak. You know he's gonna help you out. He said, in this world you have all these troubles, there's trials and all these difficulties. But he said, but be of good cheer. And I always tell people, what does good cheer look like? Yeah, go show your neighbor what good cheer looks like. Come on. Smile. Smile to your neighbor. Turn to your other neighbor and smile this way. Okay, so show them what good cheer looks like. You know, you smile. And so that's what good cheer looks like, yeah? So, but also not only smiling, you know, you have to walk around like that. Jesus said to do it, right? Why? Because you're expecting him. You expect him, even though you have trials, you're looking pretty good. You know? So, and we also say, how does good cheer sound like? Ooh. How about back there? How about over here? How about over there? That's a happy bunch. Yeah. Praise God. How about this over here? Yeah. These guys over here? How about these guys there? Oh man, we gotta give them a gift. You're all gonna receive a toilet paper each. I'm talking about a little square like this. Yeah. Okay, so. But you see, be of good cheer means, you know, you're not gonna act like you're in a real mess. Ever notice some people that are having a bad time, you know, But if you're confident that you have trials, but you know what? Hey, this is good, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, you know, you're acting that, you know, God's going to show up any moment. He's going to do something for you. Things are happening, man. What's going on? Yeah, things are happening. I thought you were in big trouble. No, this is great. Amen. I thought you lost your job. Well, no. I'm getting a new one. Amen. Yeah. See, you just say different things because you know God's going to take care of you, right? And thank God for that. So this is what Jesus is talking about. Be of good cheer. He said, "I overcome the world. I've deprived it of its power to harm you." And when he talks about in this world, he says, "In this world you'll have trouble, tribulation." I want you to notice something over here. I want to just go to the scripture. If we're going to deviate from our normal note here, and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, and go to 2nd chapter of Ephesians, verse 2. I want to show you something. Because he says, in this world, you'll have tribulation. And I want you to show you Luke chapter 6, or chapter 4, verse 6, Luke chapter 4, verse 6 as well. So I want to show you those scriptures. Let's go to the first one first. The devil, Luke 4, 6, okay, let's use Luke 4, 6 first. The devil said unto him, that is talking about Jesus, this is the temptation of Jesus. He said, all this power will I give you. Now, where did the devil get this power? He got it, you know, remember in Genesis, God told Adam, he said, I'll give you dominion in chapter 1, verse 26, 27, 28. He said, I'm going to give you this authority over this creation. And so the devil came around and stole that from him. And he became the illegitimate, illegal guardian of the world until a certain time. And he says, the devil said to Jesus, all this power will I give you and the glory of them. I mean, there's just lots of stuff in this world is good. For that has been delivered unto me, and to whomever I will give it. The devil says, I'm going to give you this. Whoever wants this, if you come and worship me, if you be a partner with me. The Bible, that's why Jesus said, if you love this world, you know, you can't be loving God if you're loving this world. I'm talking. Okay, let me just define this word. The word world, when he said, in this world you have tribulation, he's not talking about, you know, the physical, necessarily the physical, I don't know what the term is for a physical world. There's a term that means physical world. Terra firma? That's what the word means, terra firma. So anyway, the world, he's not talking about the, in this world, like the, you know, you go out in the grass. He's talking about the system. He's talking about the world means a system in which we are operating in right now. So he said, I will give you, so who has authority in this area? Who's in this world? Well, the enemy is out there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:4. I want to show you something. So we see here that it's been delivered unto Satan from Adam. Something happened. There's a switch there. So if you begin to study the Bible, I want you to understand something. You have to study the Bible. And I've been studying the Bible for many, many years now. And I didn't understand it. It was like a lot of you didn't understand it, but I began to become a studier. Anybody can study the Bible. But don't do it by yourself. You go crazy. No, you need help, okay? So some of us are anointed to do it. We have a spirit upon us. The Spirit of God is on us to learn you some things. So my dad will say. Okay, look at this. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. He said, in whom the God of this world. Everybody say, the God of this world. So it's not, he's not the God, but he's the God of this world, of this system. Little g. So, whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not. Well, how does he blind people? Well, he does. He does it many ways, through deception and all these things. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Now, for some people, they're walking around blinded because the enemy has lied to them, deceived them into thinking whatever he wants them to think. So what I want to get out of the scripture is that Satan is the god of this world. That's why Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trouble. Well, you have somebody over here who's giving you trouble. Can we go to Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians chapter 2, this is a letter to the church. To the church at Ephesus, Paul founded this church in Acts chapter 16. He met the people there, and he started the church. The point I'm getting to you, if you're following me, is just that God, that this world is run by another kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, and he'll take over people's lives if you allow them to. You know. We wonder why people can do different things because they're taken over by a spirit. So, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, this is talking about spiritual death. Some people are dead spiritually. They're spiritual, right? But they're under this master, under darkness. They can't see something. And in fact, people ask me different questions, and I know they're asking out of another spirit. They're not asking. Sometimes they want to pick fights with you. So, verse 2, he says that wherein in time past you walked. You know, he's talking about these people who walked according to the course of this world. Well, who's running that world? We know the devil is running the world. He's running a world without God. In this world, you'll have tribulation. He said, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Well, the prince of the power of the air, that's satanic, spiritual people, entities. The spirit that now works in children of disobedience. So what am I trying to get at? I'm trying to get at the fact that in this world, we're going to have trouble because there's all kinds of spirits causing difficulty. And you know, if you can just see right now, the enemy is trying to disturb everything. And we're going to, they say they're going to try, I don't know how long, one government rule. That's in the Bible. That's where they're trying to work at. They're going to have one centralized. They're making room for the Antichrist at some point. I don't know when. Don't get excited. But that's going to happen. That's the way the Bible says. One day Jesus is going to appear. And some of y'all will disappear. Jesus said that some people will never die. Hallelujah. I want to be like that. I don't want to die. I wish Jesus would come right now so I don't have to die. You have to go through the, what did he say, the jaws of life, or what is that, the jaws of death, or whatever. Anyway, so anyway, this is what I'm saying, trying to show you here. So in this world, you're going to have trouble. So don't be so disturbed that there's all kinds of things that are happening, because Jesus is forewarning you. But I want to show you something what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, that if you get the Word of God in you, you're not going to be defeated, no matter what comes your way. So there's going to be times in your life you will struggle. I mean, how many people were somewhat disturbed during this time? How many of you have struggled a little bit? You know, some of you haven't felt that less. So let's go to the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. And let's go to the 27th verse, I believe. Now, he said, "Judge not." That's a good scripture. Let's go to the 27th, I believe it is. 28. 27, please. What about 26? What about 27? Go back to 26 again. No. Okay. Okay, this is just Jesus talking. Okay. Sometimes he changes his mind. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, whatever Jesus said is the word, his word. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man. You know, he says, if you don't follow what he says, you're being foolish, which built his house upon sand. You know, when you're hearing something, you don't build your life on the solid foundation of God's word in your heart. You're building on sand. Let's go see verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and it was a great fall. See, people fall because they're building their lives on something that's not permanent. And I believe that we're giving you something that's permanent. We're giving you the word of God to build your life so that when trouble comes, you're not going to be defeated. Jesus said, if you really build your life on the Word of God, you will never fail. And I can tell you something, for me, I've had lots of troubled times, but I've always had victory. And I had to smile through difficult seasons in my life. In verse 28, it came to pass when Jesus had entered these saying that people were astonished of his doctrine. Let's go a little bit further up there, and let's go to verse 24. Is it 24? Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Those of you people who are building your life on the foundation and the principles of God's word, you're solid chum. Amen? Everybody say solid chum. Solid chum. Say solid chum. Say it with some gusto, like solid chum. That's how we say it back home. Okay. So that's what Jesus said. You're solid. See, so you build your house upon a rock. Let's go to verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. How many people know that's happening even right now? And it beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Things happen in people's lives. If you're being prepared, you should be preparing yourself right now. Read the scripture yourself. When you're not at church, read it every day, when you're in the morning and night, or twice a day, or once in the morning, depending how strong you want to be. I know guys at my gym, they go to the gym twice. Some people go twice a year, twice a month, depending how strong you want to be. And the less you do, the lesser you lose that strength. And the more you go, you gain more strength. I like to just walk around. How about you? Enough strength at least to finish your day, right? So you can be strong. I can be strong for myself. I want to be strong for my wife and my children. So that if they want in trouble, I'm going to say, get your one strength, honey. No, I want to be strong for her. I have to be strong for my family. I have to be strong for the church. I have to be healthy for the church. I have to be strong enough to believe with you. I have to be strong enough to believe with my partners across Canada that believe in Spirit of Life. I'm strong for them. So just don't be selfish. You're strong for yourself only. Be strong for everybody. Be strong enough. So I want you, because we've deviated a little bit, I want you to go back to Psalm 91. So we give you that scripture, and we will not charge you anything for that. Let's go to Psalm 91. I'm going to go and read this from the King James Bible here. Psalm 91. Okay, it says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, those people who are abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, they have to say this, or they need to say this. He said, I will say, everybody say, I will say. That means it's your confession of faith. Jesus said, whatever you say, you will have what you say. You need to be able to say something positive about yourself. And whatever you say will draw in whatever forces that are out there. I'm talking about, you can draw evil forces to you, or you can draw angelic, powerful, spiritual forces in your life to help you out. When you speak negative, you invite the enemy to come in your house, come in your mind, come in your body, come in your teeth, whatever he's going to try to destroy in your life. You know, you say, I'll never get a job. Well, they could go to work right away and start, let's not get him a job. Enemy, you know. My car never works. Let's go ahead and make sure a stick falls in there and jams that up, whatever. Well, they, you know, you give the enemy license to come in your life the way you speak. And that's why the psalmist says that I will say of the Lord. What are you going to say of the Lord? He says in here that he is my Lord, that he is my refuge, he's my fortress, he is my God. I trust in God. Trust means having faith in God. Trust means having confidence in God. Who is God? Well, you have to know who God is first, a little bit. Know who God is. Now, I want you to go back to Psalm 91 there a little bit. It says, he that dwelleth in a secret place. He that dwelleth. The word dwelleth means you're living with God. You live at his house. You live with him. It doesn't mean he that visited God once in a while. No, it means that you don't just visit God and go to God once in a while and just take off and do what you want to do. Now, he that dwelleth, that means you're living with God every day. Good days, bad days, no matter what it is. Even when you're having a good time in your life, you know, here's the trouble with some people. You know, they say, oh, the bad times, you know, you can go off from God in the bad times. But listen to me, people who have the good times forget God. God told people in Deuteronomy, like, when you have all your nice houses and you have a nice family, things are going well for you, hey, don't forget me. I'm God. I got you out of that trouble. When people got out of trouble, the Bible says that they went back and did what they used to do. I've seen people over the years, even my own family, they got help from God, and all of a sudden now they're doing okay. They forget about God. And you see that time and time. If you're a student of the Bible, the Israelites, and it's a type of a believer, the Israelite is a type of a believer like you and me, they get help from God. They go back out there and back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. They get into trouble because they want to do what they want to do. And they said, we don't want God. He said, we don't want no God. We don't want you. When he told Moses and Aaron, we don't want you. They're telling, we don't want God. Because that was God's representative. You say, I don't want to talk to Pastor Omar. I don't want him. Well, I'm representative of God here. I'm not God. Nobody is God. God is God. We're part of his family. God has instituted a system in which we live in. And lots of people don't like to live in, you know, systematic way, and they want to do what they want to do. If I want to do whatever I used to do, I'll go out there. No? Look at this. He that dwells in a secret place. Everybody say secret place. So there's a place in God. When you live with God, it's a secret place. If you want to be safe, you have to go to that secret place and live there with God. That means you're going to live and abide with God by his presence, by his Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. You're going to live in the principles of God's Word, living under his care, living under his Word, principles. Living under his laws. He that dwells in a secret place. So when we live with God in that secret place, what happens? He's called the Most High God. We abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We're under his protection. When you come to God, you're living under his. The word shadow just means over his authority. His protection. And the scripture uses God being like an eagle stretching his wings over his eaglets. Is that how you say it? Huh? Fly? Well, whatever it is. Little birds. And if you're under that eagle like that, you're under there, and no one, other people can't see you, or the other birds can't see you. I don't know if birds, they eat each other or not, or the man bird eats the little baby birds. That can happen. The Bible also talks about that God is like a hen. That's right, Pastor Ken? A hen? Yeah. That's a woman, female chicken? A hen? Is that what it is? It's not a rooster. Okay, so I want to make sure I'm not one of these farmers. You were a farmer, yeah. So a hen would sit on those little chicks, and it would stretch his arms like that and protect them. You wouldn't even know those chicks are there. They're hidden. And Jesus talks about that. He uses that analogy. He said, you can be one of my little chickens. That's why we love eating chicken. So protecting, he's going to protect you, and the enemy can't see you. He wants to strike at you, but he can't. The Lord says that he'll protect you. God wants to protect you. Protect you under his wings. So we need to say that we dwell. We need to make a decision to dwell in a sacred place, not just visit there once in a while. Come to God only when we got trouble. And somebody asked me the other day, I put the scripture down, Psalm 91, which verse was it? Is it verse 9? Which scripture did I give? Verse 3? No, that's not the one. I think it's a verse. The Lord will protect you. No deadly disease will come to you. Remember the scripture? Verse 10. Is it verse 10? Okay, so there shall no evil befall thee. You think COVID-19 is evil? Yes. Well, you can. I will say to the Lord. See, no evil shall befall me. Neither shall any plague. The word plague is contagion or contagious diseases. Can you believe that? Yes. We need to believe that, not just say, "Oh, I might get it. I may not. I'm afraid of people." You got to believe God. And live in him. Now, you can't just say, I'm going to take that scripture, but I'm going to steal as much as I can, lie, cheat, and try to use that scripture. It's not going to work for you. You got to live with God day in and day out and trust him. Live with God. Be with him. Not just go do what you want to do and then pull out the scripture when you feel like it. No, there's conditions for God. There's conditions for everything. You know, there's conditions. If you're my Facebook friend, there's conditions that I put out there. If you start, you know, all kinds of junk, I get you out. You're gone. You know, and not very often do I get people away. I give people lots of chances. Sometimes they send me a lot of horrible things. You know, I understand what's going on in there, but I want to be an example. I don't fight them back. You know, just mad at them like that. There's a spirit working behind them. If you can get by that, the fact that the people are moved by different spirits. There's the evil spirits that inspire people to say a lot of stuff, and they don't even know it. They just think, I'm just mad. Well, there's a demon sitting right on your shoulder. And he's been inspiring you to say all these things. And so they don't know. That's why if you're blind, how would you know? You're being deceived. The only way you'll know is begin to look in the scriptures and see what it says. That's when your eyes are open, when you see the scripture. And so we're not going to be blind, but God tells us that we can have protection from all this stuff if we're living in a secret place. And when you're living in a secret place, you know the devil is trying to steal and kill and destroy. John 10:10. Let's go to that. John 10:10. It says in here that the devil, the enemy, the thief, he's talking about the devil. Jesus is contrasting his, you know, his motivation and the devil's motivation in your life. He says how he operates. He says the thief comes not but for to steal. Has anybody ever stolen from you? Some people have lost their childhood because of it. Kill and destroy. If there's anything going on, if people are going on in the city, in your life, if any stealing going on, killing going on, destroying going on, well, the devil's at work. And then we look at people. It's not just the people, but the work behind, the spirit behind that person. And he said, I am come that they might have life. The word life is the word zoe, which means the God kind of life, the God quality kind of life. Not just living physical life, but there is a new life that has all the ingredients that will make you happy, protected, living full. He says that you might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. That's over and above. Happy, you got enough happy for everybody. Right? But there's a devil going around, he's trying to steal, and we're living in a secret place. Everybody say, I live in a secret place. Go to, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's go to verse 8. It says there, be sober. It's time to be sober, guys. You know, sober means you're serious about your living. You know, when somebody's on stuff, they're not sober. They're not, you know, they're gone. They're gone, right? They didn't do anything. People standing around, you know, 40 degree. I saw a guy come out of his 40 degree. He's like this, you know. Man, it's great hair. I said, it's minus 40. Wind chill. Well, he's not all there because the devil has got a hold of his mind. So people who do stuff, they do all kinds of stuff when they're under the influence. Even when you know it. Some people are fully, they're aware, but they can't stop themselves from doing stuff when they're under influence. I don't know what they call that. Some people call it a brownout. There's a blackout, brownout, greenout. I'm not sure which one it is. But you know what you're doing, but you still don't have control because you lost part of your brain that allows you to think logically. That's what happens when chicken comes around at 12:30. Okay, so be vigilant. I mean, you're not going to just let the enemy come and destroy you. You're going to be watchful and vigilant. You're going to like... What are you doing? I'm vigilant. You better take this guy to emergency. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, he's not your friend. The adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he's not a roaring lion, but he acts as a roaring lion, walking about. He doesn't have a car. He walks about. I just pass by him. Walking about, seeking who he may devour. Everybody say, seeking. So he's looking, but you're in a secret place. You're under the wings of God. He's looking around. He can't find you. And I got some COVID here for you. Where's your house at? You see, he can't find your house because the blood of Jesus is covering it. Amen. Come knocking on your door. It's the wrong address, buddy. It's going over there. So the devil is coming around. He's trying to drop off a bag of COVID. Some people say, oh, what is this COVID? Sounds good. No, it's not good. He says, he's seeking who he may devour. Everybody say, may. It means that he can. And he's seeking because he can't find you. May means that he could if you come out from that protection. Well, how do you get out of that protection? Oh, you decide to say, I'm going to just do what I want to do. I'm going to live the way I want to live. He doesn't have to provide protection for you. He can't provide protection for you because you left his protective armor. You took yourself out from that. And there are some people that are out from it now, Christian or whatever it is. They get themselves out from the protection of God, and they're in trouble. And they look to other things. They had looked to other things to save them in their lives, and now they're praying to God, asking God. And God is saying, hey, listen, you took yourself from under my protection. You took me out of your life. You said you want to do your own thing. And the scripture says that God says to these people, go to your own gods. That's tough. So we need to stay within the parameter of what God has given us. And somebody wrote me the other day on my Facebook and said, I just wonder why I put that, that scripture in there. I said, what is that scripture again? Verse 10? 91:10? Can you get the New Living on that, New Living Translation or New English? I want to show you something here. So I put that on there, and I'm not trying to get a reaction. I'm just doing it for my purposes. It's my Facebook. I put whatever I want on mine. You can say whatever you want on your Facebook, but not mine. If you say it on my Facebook, I take you out. Right? Like I say, people say all kinds of stuff. I say, it's private, but hey, it's still mine. I can say what I want to say. Yeah, but not on mine, because it's my Facebook. Yeah, you can, but I'll get you out. Okay, so no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near you. There's other versions that say a little different, that no sicknesses will come on you. So I put that on there, and somebody said, what about all those other people who got sick? Well, there are conditions for that. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, that's not automatic. That's not like just because I'm born again, I have this. No, it's not really. Because there's born again Christians, they're acting just like the devil. They look like child of the devil. They just do whatever they lie, cheat. Why would God write letters to the church at Ephesus and Corinthians and stuff saying, hey, stop sleeping around? Because there's Christians who sleep around. That's why it's in there. Why does God say stop lying to one another? Because there's Christians who lie. Well, can they just live like that and be under their protection? Of course not. So, whose fault is it? It's their fault. Through negligence, through disobedience, through unaware, they're ignorant of what God says. Like, so it's our duty to come and be informed. Or be reminded. Even if you know, it's good to be reminded that you just can't live any way you want to live and expect God to still bless you and be your protector. Because he said to different ones over here, I want to show you something, that these people that trusted in their own gods. In Deuteronomy 32, 37, the Lord will ask, where are their gods, the rocks they trusted? So, the good news says over in Psalm 20 and verse 7, and some trust in war chariots, others in their horses, but I'll trust in the power of our God. That means some people trust in human strength, we should do what we can with human strength, but that's not our full strength. You know? So, in Judges chapter 10, in verse 14, I'm going to skip some of these scriptures I want to show you, but Judges 10, verse 14. Let's go to verse 6, 10 to 14. And the children of Israel, Judges 10, verse 6, children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken you, our God, and we have served Balaam. You know, Balaam was a certain god that they rely on. You know, leader and gods they trusted. They trusted different leadership and different kinds of gods that they worshipped over there. And the Lord said to the children of Israel, didn't I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from Ammon and from the Philistines? The Zidonians also and the Amalekites and Mananites, they oppress you. And you cried unto me, and I delivered you out of their hand, and you have forsaken me and serve other gods. Wherefore, I will deliver you no more, he says to them. So, you know, there's a time and place where God can't, you know, he goes by his word. He said, if you go out from my protection, I can't help you anymore. Because you're going into a place. The devil has legal right to inflict punishment on any person, even the children of God, when they just leave and do what they want to do. God doesn't have authority over those, but he has authority in him. You know, the Bible talks about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the darkness. There's a kingdom of darkness. Is there power there? Yes, there's power. There's evil power under that. But there's power of God under his protection. And when you're in his protection, you can take authority anytime over the enemy. I've had people call me a lot of times that are bothered by evil spirits. They say, come to my house and drive out these evil spirits. I said, okay, I can do that, but I want to show you how to do it. I said, I'm not making a house call again. I'm a ghostbuster. It's only one time I can do it. But if you call me again, I mean, you have to do it. It's your house. People say, pray for me, pray that the devil leaves me alone. Well, I can pray that, but can you stay chummy from him? Don't look at me that way. Okay, so you have to be able to do your part. God will protect you if you stay with him. But if you're going to keep on insisting to do what you want to do, then he has no authority. And he has allowed the devil to inflict punishment on you because you're going out of the kingdom of his kingdom and going to his area. You understand what I'm saying? So even though you're a believer, you still need to stay within the realms of what God has defined as what his kingdom is for us. Praise God. Let's go ahead and shut her down. I've given you what I need to give you this morning. Thank God. You're protected. Let's go ahead and start to praise God a little bit before we close. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and stand up. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. For your mercy endures forever. That no evil will befall me. I'm believing and trusting God. With everyone here, all my friends across the nation, wherever you are, at Watch Spirit Alive, you're partnering with me. I'm trusting God. That wherever you are, we're going to trust the Lord with you today. Hallelujah. I know, listen to me. You guys think this is the last time you're going to see something like this? Nah. Yeah? And you say, well, oh, thank God COVID's gone. And then something else comes worse. Listen, this is not the end of these kind of things. You're going to see more stuff like that. So go ahead and buy all the toilet paper you can. You know? Make sure. We need to repent and ask God to forgive us. You know what the word repent means? It repent. Jesus said, repent and believe. The word repent means you're going to turn around, make a complete turn away from where the way you're living. Turn away from the way you're living and turn to God. Repent and turn to God and believe God and trust God. Not say, I'll repent just for today and maybe later I'll go back. No, I realize that there's some people who are weak when they get saved. They're a little bit weak and they have trouble. And that's not what I'm talking about. And so you know what happens to people? You know what happens, opens the door to COVID to come in people's life? It's fear. It's anxiety and fear and just afraid of everything and all that. So when you get to know God and learn how to combat fear, I always tell my girls this, if you can learn how to overcome anxiety and fear, you'll have less stress in your life. And you're not going to invite the enemy. You know, Job says, the thing which I feared has come upon me. Fear, that's why Jesus always talked about, you know, fear not. Fear opens the door for the enemy to come in your life. Listen, here's something else I'm going to define for you. Feeling afraid doesn't mean you open the door. See, feeling afraid doesn't mean you open the door. It means you just felt fear. It's how you act with that fear. So you have to act courageously. You can have fear, but still act courageously. Okay? So it doesn't mean, you know, courageous means doesn't mean absence of fear. You're going to do it while you're afraid. I have fear about this, but I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to obey God. I want to trust God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we want to thank you today. We're praying for every person right now. We lift up our voice. Let's go ahead and thank God right now together and thank him and praise him. Let's go ahead and praise him for his protection. Praise him for his blessing upon our lives. Praise him for all the good he's done in our lives. Thank you that we're saved. We are living in the secret place of the Most High God, that no foe enemy can come there. Thank you, Lord God. No sickness can come in that place. Oh, we praise you for the blood of Jesus to protect us, to wash us, and keep us cleansed when we begin to plead the blood of Jesus over our lives, over our homes, over everything that is our property. Thank you, Jesus, that belong to us, our children. We apply the blood of Jesus over them and all our ministries and all our families, all our businesses. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we pray for the city of Thunder Bay. We pray for the mayor and all those responsible and all the government officials, our MPs and MMPs, and we pray for them the wisdom of God as we deal with this situation. We pray all those that are over the schools, the principals, and all the leadership, and all the people, and different offices, the police officers, and so on, the MTS workers, and all the people that are responsible working in all the hospitals. We pray for them in the name of Jesus. We pray for the strength of God. We pray for families who have been affected by this disease. We pray for everyone that is suffering in this disease right now. We pray in the name of Jesus. We speak life over them. We pray the angels will protect them. Thank you, Jesus. We give you thanks for your goodness. We pray for our First Nations families in the north. We cover them with the blood of Jesus. We pray protection against all the viruses and all the sicknesses and diseases. Hallelujah. We pray for all the health people in our city that are working around the clock to help this spread from spreading around, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. We pray for those that are overseas that may be stuck. They can't come home right now. We ask your protection over them, the Canadian people. We pray by the authority of God's word, we pray protection over them. Those that have come back, that have been affected, we pray that they'd be healed. Thank you, Jesus. We pray for all those, not only those right now, but we pray for those believers who are out of the fellowship of God. They pray they come back to the kingdom of God. They pray they come under his divine health and protection. We pray for anybody here and everybody that's watching online that they will come back to you, that they'll be under your safety and protection. Thank you, Lord God. And we rebuke sickness and disease. If anybody has any kind of disease, any kind of sickness right now, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that sickness. I rebuke that power right now. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. I pray for this man right now who is asking for prayer, for healing, a man with a head injury. And we pray for him in the name of Jesus, for this blood clot or whatever it is in his head. This blood clot will dissolve, that he would come to his senses, that this man would turn to you, Lord God, in this time of distress. We give you praise for this man, in the name of Jesus. We pray for him and his family and those affected by the situation. Hallelujah. With every eye closed, every head bowed, if somebody in this room right now, you said, I've been away from God, and I don't know God. I want to know God. I need to know him. If there's somebody here, you've never invited Jesus in your life before. Or those that you've been away from God and you've done your own thing and you need to come back to God. Is there somebody here that says, I've never had Jesus Christ into my heart? Lift your hand way up high. I want to pray for you right now. Somebody here that said, I've never invited Jesus in my life. I want to come to him right now. I want to be born again. I want to be his child. I want to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Is there anybody like that here? Thank you, Lord God. Is there somebody here that says, I've been away from God? I want to come back to Jesus. I want to come back to the fold. Is there somebody here that says, I need to come back to God? Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else say, I want to come back to God? Anybody else? Thank you, Father. Let's pray this prayer. Say, dear God in heaven, I thank you that I'm a child of God. I turn away from my own ways. I'm turning to you 100%. I give you my life again. I don't take it back anymore. I'm going to live for you. And whenever I need a correction, correct me and I'll do it. I'll change. And those of you that have never had Jesus come in your life, you say, Jesus, come in my life. I believe you're the Son of God. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I thank you right now. I invite you in my spirit, into my spirit, in my innermost being. Come into my, live in my heart. Live through me, Lord. Let your love come through me to help this world. Thank you, Lord. According to that, I call upon your name. And now I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I repent from my ways. I turn away from my sins. I'm coming back to you. I come to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. All right, make sure you wink at somebody as you leave. Nod at somebody as you leave. Hallelujah. God bless you. See you next time. Amen.